Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today the subject, the issue that we're discussing is a theological, doctrinal, biblical, very, very important, imperative to understand issue. That is, what is the church? The church is not a denominational title. The church is not the building that we meet in. The church is the universal body of Christ. There's, as you study the scripture, and I give a broad understanding and then narrow it down, the church is the universal body of Christ, some places and some names differentiating based on their denominational dogma, but the church is the universal body of Christ. There's the church universal and there's the church local. In the church local, as we would call it in a theological discussion in a classroom, doctrinal teaching classroom, it is the church local that has the denominational titles and names, which very frankly, ladies and gentlemen, God did not ordain a denominational title or name. God did not ordain Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, but the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the baptized believers, those that are called out ones, those that have said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go with the question or comment, please.
Hey, Dr. Youngblood.
Pastor Good morning.
Davis,
delighted
how y'all doing?
You.
Delighted to be here. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
You were talking about look good on the outside, and the first thing that popped in my mind was the part of scripture where Jesus is speaking in the temple to the Pharisees there, and he's talking about the vessel being clean on the outside, but all kinds of uncleanness fill it on the inside.
He called them whited sepulchers.
he did.
Whited sepulchers, he called it. A sepulcher is a place of deadness. And
the grave, the open grave.
That's exactly right, brother.
But I'm in and out of a truck all day long. I didn't catch what day it was that you were doing this, or that Pastor Davis was leading this class.
That's on Thursday evenings here on the campus at 6:30 on Thursday afternoons. It'll be a four-week semester, started last evening.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much for that information. I hope both of you gentlemen are having a very blessed day and keep on keeping on.
Every morning that we wake up is a blessed day, brother.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Thank you so much for your call and your input and your dialogue and discussion on the issue today. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a very serious subject. You might brush it off in nonchalant fashion and think that it's not. But lest we get a hold of, a good handle on, what is the church, we've lost our direction. We've lost our compass. We are going in the wrong direction. It's not a matter of denominationalism. It's not a matter of what a denominational dogma might say, but it's a matter of being a part of the body of Christ, and we do so by saying yes to him as Savior and as Lord. And we're now talking about not just the definition of the church, but the distinction of the church. What distinguishes what we call the church, which is that part of us that has said yes to Jesus as Savior and as Lord. The church universal, made up of those that have said yes to Jesus, we're first of all called the building, the figure of speech that is used in the scripture about the temple of God. Secondly, we're called the bride. This is one of the, perhaps, the bride in the body and the branches. not just the building, but then the bride, the body, and the branches make up out of about 8 or 10 different titles that the Bride of Christ, the church, has been given in the Scripture. We've narrowed it down just simply for the broadcast today for us to give the skinny of it, as I call it, the
Amen.
Real focus,
Amen.
Focus of what we're talking about, what is the church. We're called the Bride of Christ. Pastor, if you would be kind enough to read Ephesians 5, 22 and 23 for us, and then we'll
Amen.
Talk about it. We are the Bride of Christ. Jesus loves his bride, the church, which is, therefore, as believers, we're to be subject to Christ. Read Ephesians 5, 22 and 23.
Amen. Ephesians 5, 22. Speaking to the wives, he said, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body."
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, as I touched on earlier, if there is a body, there must be a head, or the body is not alive. The body cannot survive without the head.
Amen.
And the Scripture says that the body of Christ is to be subject to Christ, just as the wife is subject to the husband. The analogy that's given is a husband and wife relationship, how the wife is to submit to the husband as unto the Lord, and to realize and to recognize that to be subject to Christ is the key that is being taught in that text. Many look at that text, "Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord." How do we submit unto the Lord? Our totality, everything that Christ says in his word, we do. It's a matter of saying, as I've used, Pastor, "Yes, sir."
Amen.
It's a matter of not why, but yes, sir. It's a matter of being obedient to the head, which is Christ himself. In fact, in that 24th verse of the 5th chapter of Ephesians, it says, "Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything."
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the question, what is the church? The church is oftentimes in the Scripture called the building, the temple of God. We're called the bride of Christ. If we're the bride of Christ, then the Scripture says Jesus Christ loved the bride, gave himself for it. Jesus gave himself on Calvary's cross, shed his rich red royal blood for the church.
Amen.
According to the Scripture, he shed his blood on Calvary's cross.
Amen.
Therefore, we are to be subject to Christ. That is, we are to submit to him.
Amen.
Pastor, I've seen so many that say they're saved, unwilling to follow instructions from, so often from the pastor or from senior Christians that try to instruct them, give them advice and directions. I found it to be a sad phenomenon that multitudes of times those that say they're Christians, we put in the category of younger Christians that have not been saved many, many years, and somehow, some way, they make mistakes that will lead to a brick wall, as I call it, because they're unwilling to listen to, follow advice from senior Christians, those that have been saved, those that are studying the Word, or the pastor that's the shepherd, under-shepherd of the flock, that's trying to lead them, feed them, guide them, guard them, protect them, direct them. We're charged with the responsibility in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 and 2 as pastors, to feed the flock of God that I've given you charge over. And that word feed means to lead, to guide, to guard, to protect, to direct, and to correct. And yet, Pastor, I reckon the saddest thing in pastoral ministry is to find people that you see what they're doing, you see where they're going, you see their proclivities and the propensities to do what they're doing, and you know that there's going to be a shipwreck. You know there's going to be a wreck. There's going to be running into a brick wall. But so often you find those that are unwilling to be obedient and to follow.
Amen.
And the Scripture says that first and foremost, there must be the recognition that as the bride of Christ, Christ gave himself for the bride, for the church, and we need to be subject to him. That is, we say yes to Christ, whatever he says, do. But one of the greater terminologies that's used as a characteristic of the church is that we are not only the building and the bride, but we're the body.
Amen.
The
Amen.
Body. Now, that's a super serious terminology there. Pastor, when we talk about being the body of Christ, it is found in Ephesians 4, 12 and verse 16. Ephesians 4, 12 and verse 16. It's just one of the multitudes of verses that talks about that. We're called the body of Christ. just as the head has authority over the physical body, so also Jesus Christ is to be the head over the church.
Amen.
Read that brief text for us.
Amen.
And ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you again, there are a variety, a whole host of verses that will validate each of the points that I'm trying to make in this narrowed down, skinned down study today. It's a very broad subject, but we're boiling it down so that you can get a nutshell glance of what the church really is. Read that for us, Pastor Davis.
Amen. Ephesians 4 and 16.
4 and 12 and then 16.
Okay, 12. We're going back up to 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And then verse 16 says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Amen.
That preached for about an hour, Pastor.
Amen. Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand what the body does if we're the body of Christ, and we are, according to the Scripture.
Amen.
What does the body do? What is the body's responsibility? I'm looking at some notes that I've done for some time, and I'm just going to read these off, and then we'll talk about them, Pastor. The church is called the body. Number one, members of the body of Christ are joined to Christ in salvation. How do we become part of the body of Christ? According to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 12 through 16, we just touched on a portion of that. We become a part of the body of Christ by saying yes to Christ.
Amen.
We become a part of his body by believing. Pisteuo, placing our faith and trust in him, placing our faith and trust in the finished work on Calvary's cross. We're part of the body of Christ by saying yes in salvation. We're members of the body of Christ, and as so, we're to follow the head.
Amen.
We looked at that a moment ago in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have problems today, if you have difficulty today, if you have disdain today for being obedient to the Word of God, let me just simply say succinctly, you're not part of the body of Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Because the body is obedient to the head.
Amen. That's right.
And
Amen.
If you've said yes to Jesus Christ, he's the head, not me, not you, not some priest, a prophet, so-called, not some pastor, but Jesus Christ is the head.
Amen.
This is the reason, Pastor, a lot of people refer to, well, that's your church. Pastor so-and-so, that's your church. No, it's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ that meets in that particular building, that he's called out certain individuals to be the pastor, to be the shepherd, to lead, to feed, to guide, to guard, and direct. The
Amen.
Sheepfold,
Amen.
We have that responsibility
Amen.
As shepherds. Thirdly, we're members of the body of Christ, are the physical representations of Christ in the world. The church is the organism, not the organization, the organism through which Christ manifests his life in the world today.
Amen.
How does the world know about Jesus Christ? Through his body.
Amen.
If we are to represent Christ, we're his body. What we do, what we say, where we go, how we act, part of the body ought to be what we're saying and doing that manifestly shows forth that we are Christ, that
Amen.
He's the head.
Amen.
Pastor, we have Tom on the line. Go to Brother Tom with your question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, to answer your question, what is the church? I believe it describes a group of people who believe that Jesus is the truth, the light, and the way.
That you put it very succinctly, and you're right on target with that. You're spot on, as some say, in relationship to that. It's a group of people that believe that Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man
Amen.
Comes to the Father but by, dia, through me. Absolutely.
Yes. Dr. Youngblood, I could give you an example of a group that I don't think, even though they may proclaim to be in that group, is there's a group of people that's trying to save this earth, which is actually disposable. They think if they can keep the earth from heating up 1.5 to 2 degrees, that they're doing good. But Christ clearly stated he's going to heat it so hot that the very elements will melt. So
that's found in the 3rd chapter of 2 Peter, and you're exactly right. This old world is going to be obliterated. It's going
Amen.
To be renovated. It's going to be totally destroyed and by fire. the first time the earth was destroyed was by the flood, by water. And the promise we see with the rainbow coming in the clouds, it's a reminder of God's promise that he'd never destroy the earth with the flood anymore. The next destruction of this old world is that by fire, according to 2 Peter chapter 3. And may I remind us, and Tom, you touched on that, let me tie a loose end together. Revelation chapter 20, verses 7 through 9. We find that during the time that Satan is going to be bound in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years and the millennial reign takes place with the Lord Jesus Christ, after Satan is released for a brief period of time, there'll be millions that will follow him. And fire will come down from heaven and destroy them. And then Satan is going to be cast into Tartarus. That's the place of fire and brimstone called hell. But prior to that, in Revelation chapter 19, verse 17 through 21, the false prophet and all of those that have fought against the church, fought against Christ, fought against Israel, be cast into hell. But the major thing that I'm wanting us to understand, based on your statement, is that this old world, Mother Earth, as it is called, we need to talk about Father God more than Mother Earth. And we're not going to change the heat because there's a place called hell, and it is down, according to the scripture. It's getting hotter and hotter, and it's being prepared more and more for those that have said no to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. So the earth is not going to get better. It's going to get worse and worse until God himself destroys this whole earth. So you're exactly right. And yet we have those that are worshiping the climate, worshiping the climate change mantra, worshiping that which is an attempt to save Mother Earth, and that is their total focus. And Mother Earth, as a little boy says, that poor grammar, but it makes a point, Mother Earth ain't going to be saved. God's the one that's in charge of that.
Amen.
And God's
Amen.
The one that's put Jesus Christ as the head of the church, and the church being the body of Christ.
You know, Dr. Youngblood, the longer you follow Christ, the more you begin to realize the devil has such deception. You know, Christ said, in the last days, deception will be rampant. Well, you begin to realize that abortion, homosexuality, climate change, all those things that seem so benign and so well-being are not. They're all deceptions from Satan himself. And that's not my revelation. I've learned that listening to you, and I want to thank you for it.
Well, brother, thank you for all the truth that you've taught us, Dr. Youngblood. I am thankful for the privilege and opportunity, and I'm thankful for each and every one of our listeners each and every day. And my major encouragement to you that are listening, pray for this broadcast each and every day. If you want to see this continue, pray for us. If you feel impressed of the Lord to do so, go online to conservative@jax.com. That's conservative, FCBC, that is, FCBC, @jax.com. And make a contribution for the underwriting of this broadcast to continue, and not just to continue, but to thrive and to survive and to broaden the base. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the subject today. What is the church? We've gotten to the point where we're talking about it's called the building. It is called the bride. It is called the body. Members of the body of Christ are indwelt with the Holy Spirit, according to Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. Members of the body of Christ are indwelt. Time we say yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, God the Holy Spirit indwells our body, indwells us. We become members of the body of Christ by saying yes to Jesus Christ. In time, the body of Christ, the member of the body of Christ, says yes, we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 9. Members of the body of Christ share a common bond. That common bond is with other Christians, regardless of background, regardless of race, regardless of ethnicity, regardless of ministry, regardless of the denominational dogma. There should be no division in the body of Christ.
Amen.
In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, in the high holy priestly prayer of Jesus in John 17, says that we might be one. He's praying that we might be one. He's not talking about that we have a universal church, but that we might be one in the cardinal doctrines of the faith. Now, as we teach in Conservative Theological University, we say to the students, we don't care about your denominational background, the dogmas that might be added, the layer after layer, and sometimes layer after layer of things that's not biblical. We want you to learn what the Scripture says and stay in your denomination and preach and teach the truth of the gospel that will lead others to faith in Jesus Christ with the solid word of God, without admixture, without adding the denominational distinctives, but simply what does the word of God say?
Amen.
Pastor,
Amen.
Not only are we called the building and the bride and the body, we're also called the branches.
Amen.
Turn, if you will, please.
Amen.
To John chapter 15. We're called the branches. Jesus Christ is the vine. We are the branches. Start with verse 1 and read two or three verses, and then we'll pause there. We're going to take a little, several minutes, if we can, on these verses in John chapter 15. If Amen. We are called the branches, and we are, the branch must be attached to the vine, or as I would call it, the trunk of the tree, or as the scripture calls it, the vine. Read those first few verses there.
Amen. John 15 and 1. He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself,
that's right,
except it abide in the vine.
Yes.
No more can ye, except ye abide in me.
Right. Pastor, can Amen. You picture, can you picture a tomato? I love tomatoes. Can you picture a tomato vine, and you have the vine, and then you have the branches, and the branches bear the fruit? Can you imagine a tomato vine with the branches, and the branches say, I don't want to be attached to you. I'm not going to follow what you tell me to do. There will be no fruit. And Jesus says that we must abide in him and him in us. And if we abide in him and he abides in us, that word abide is the Lord meno, M-E-N-O, in the Greek text means to stay, to constantly be in, to ever be part of. And so, ladies and gentlemen, the question is, are you abiding in Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Are you allowing Jesus Christ to abide, to dwell, to stay, the little word meno, to constantly be in you? That's the question.
Amen.
If he is not abiding in you, if you're not abiding in him through his word, if you're not constantly in his word and constantly allow him to be in you and to guide, guard, direct your life, there needs to be a question. A big red flag should come up and ask the question, am I truly born again? Am I saved? Have I said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord? Keep in mind, without the vine, that is Jesus, the branches can do nothing. He says, without me, you can do nothing.
Amen.
And yet, Pastor, there are a whole lot of folks today that are trying to carry out all kinds of feats in their lives, not talking about the foot, all kinds of feats, F-E-T-S, trying to carry out all kinds of feats and accomplish all kinds of things without the vine, without being attached to the vine. And the scripture is very clear as you study John 15, Pastor, and I'm sure that you are familiar with that, that if you're not bearing fruit, the scripture says the Father is the husbandman. That means he's the one that tends to the vine. He's the one that prunes the vine. He's the one that cuts away the limbs from the vine. And if the branches are not producing fruit, they're cut down and thrown into the fire, the scripture says.
Amen.
So a person that says they're saved and they're not soul winning, they're not witnessing, they're not reaching, that's what your course is about.
Amen.
It's soul winning, personal evangelism. For a Christian, part of the body of Christ, part of the, which is the bride of Christ, one of the branches, if you're a branch and you're attached to the vine, you're going to want to produce fruit. Your life, your body, your living will produce fruit if you're attached to the vine.
Amen.
I use the term, Pastor, if there's no fruit, there's no root.
That's right. Amen.
If you do not produce fruit, then there's not a root that's abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ. The branch can do nothing. It's through the vine that the branches produce fruit. The branches apart from the vine will not, cannot produce anything. In fact, the branches without the vine cannot survive.
Amen.
You can
Amen.
Take a branch, you can cut it from the trunk of the plant or from the vine. You can cut that branch off, you can sever it, and it cannot survive without the vine.
Amen.
Just like as the head, which is Christ, the body cannot survive without the head.
Amen. Well, you know, Dr. Youngblood, where a big part of the problem lies at with people,
yes,
mainly, is that they fail to submit.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard you say that in your earlier explanation.
Yes.
You have to submit.
Yes.
You have to give up your rights.
Yes.
Submit means to voluntarily place yourself under.
Yes.
When we look at Jesus, amen, and the scripture kind of changes, amen, the words in there, because it says he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross.
Philippians 2:5-11. Yes.
He didn't have to because he got power over all things.
Amen.
He didn't even have to die.
That's
amen.
Right.
But he voluntarily placed himself under death's submission, mm-hmm, for the purpose of saving us. Let me that's just right. put that in one nutshell.
Absolutely.
Amen. That's a pretty nutshell right
that's
there.
Right. Amen.
So this kind of helps you to understand more, amen, about Jesus. Now, if Jesus submitted, why don't you?
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with you? Why you can't submit?
If you're part of the body.
Amen.
There'll be the submission.
Amen. So this is what we are saying on today. Beautiful explanation, amen, as Dr. Youngblood is putting it here. Amen. And the example, amen, about the branches, he even went down and said, Dr. Youngblood, if you're not bearing fruit, then you are cut down and cast into the fire.
Absolutely.
And that's a perfect example of that hellfire that he didn't prepare for us, but that was prepared for the devil and his angels. But it's sad that some people are going to a devil's hell.
That's right. And it's a volitional choice,
amen.
A choice that they made.
Amen.
And also, Pastor, we'll touch on this very briefly before our time has elapsed, our collapse, as the little boy says.
Amen.
We're also called the flock of God. We're called the flock because we're sheep, according to the scripture. We're designated as sheep. If there's sheep, there's a shepherd. Take a moment, Pastor, and we'll close with these verses. Read John chapter 10, beginning with verse 1 and following. I think it's John chapter 10, about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then we'll discuss that for a moment.
Amen.
John chapter 10.
John 10 and 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out.
Yes.
And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, let's close with this. We are the sheep, according to the scripture. He is the shepherd. And the scripture says in John, the 10th chapter, that his sheep know his voice, hear his voice, and will follow him, and will not follow the voice of another, etros, a different shepherd. If we've said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, we're going to be obedient to his call, his direction, his instruction as the shepherd over the flock.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have run out of time, but it's been a joy to share this with you today, and I pray that you've been edified, encouraged, and challenged with it. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Amen.
And president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1/2 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m., for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them, 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.